I'm going to talk about empowering our kids in the kingdom of God. Empowering our kids in the kingdom of God. I'm going to share a little bit about my journey and how God's brought me and our church body into this more over the last year. But, you know, this a scripture that we often quote is Acts chapter 2, quoting from Joel chapter 2, where it says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And the emphasis there is that nobody will be left out. Because it's young, old, male, female. If you read through the progression, right, it says your sons and your daughters will prophesy, old men, young men, male, female. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And I believe that God is, he's wanting to bring us to a place as a church where nobody gets left out. Okay, nobody gets left out. From old to young, man, woman, etc. And if you remember from Exodus, I think it's Exodus 10, whenever Pharaoh was bargaining with Moses. Moses went and the plagues were happening and there was this back and forth. And there was a time in Exodus 10 where Pharaoh said, okay, your men can go. Your men can go, but the children are staying here. Your men can go. And Moses said, no, we will go with our young and with our old. Nobody was going to get left behind. And I feel like the church sometimes has taken that bargain with the devil where maybe the older generation's got it. Maybe the older generation is, you know, going after the things of God. And so the enemy says, okay, I can't get this, but I'm going to get the young ones. See, sometimes the enemy has more of a long-term strategy than we do. And one, I know for me personally, one of the things that drives me in a pursuit of God, yes, I want to know him. Yes, I want to get to, yes, but one of the things that drives me in a pursuit of God is the principle of inheritance. Because what I possess, what I take, my sons and daughters get to possess. Whatever territory, see, there was a whole generation that didn't have to fight for the promised land because the previous generation did. There was a whole generation that inherited another generation's battle. But if the enemy can bring a breach between the generations, he knows he can stop the continuity of the move of God. Because it's meant to go from one succeeding generation to the next, because God's the God of generations. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a God of generations. So he knows if he can get a breach between one generation and the next, he can literally, the church has to like start over. And so God is doing something right now in the earth. He's turning the hearts of fathers to the children and children to the fathers. And so God's had us on a journey, me personally, our church body, where he's been highlighting our kids specifically. If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew 18. I'll get there in a minute. I want to share a bit about the journey. So God, through a series of events, I became much more involved in a hands-on way in our kids' ministry, primarily because there was a transition happening. We had a new kids' director that was coming in. Nikki, she's here actually today. She was coming in, and somebody else was moving out, and so I got more involved just in navigating the transition, all that kind of stuff. And I feel like God kind of hooked me in the process. I didn't realize what he was doing, but see, I've always had a heart for kids. I've always loved kids. I love kids. I love to talk to them. I love to make them feel special. I love them, you know, to know that they're valuable. But never in my wildest dreams did I think I would have an involvement in kids ministry. It just never crossed my mind, let alone write a kids curriculum, which the Lord led us to do. In the course of me getting more involved in the kids ministry, the Lord just started to speak to us, our staff, our kids director, and he highlighted for us to write our own curriculum. Not because there wasn't great curriculums out there, not because we think ours is the best one, but we just felt like that's what he was speaking to us. So we wrote this curriculum together. It's called Kids Empowered. And the whole emphasis is on kids having a real relationship with God now. Kids having a real relationship with God right now. God gave us the theme, and know, grow, and show. Empowered to know, empowered to grow, empowered to show. So it's relationship-based, based on knowing him. It's based on character development, and it's based on demonstrating God's love and power to others. And so we've been now using this curriculum. There's actually a couple other churches that are using it now. So if you're interested in it, talk to me, talk to Nikki. Nikki, wave your hand. See over there? So there's my little blurb for that. Matthew 18. Where is my Bible? I didn't even bring it up here, did I? It's sitting over here. Matthew 18. See, this whole time thing's got me. Okay. That's my daughter over there. I love her. There's my son, Jude. So in this whole process, speaking of my son, Jude, he's 7 years old. He was six at the time. As we're going through this whole process, Jude has a prophetic dream. And he shares with me one Saturday morning, he said, Dad, I had this dream. And he was telling me about this dream. He said, Dad, write this in my journal. And he had this dream that he was preaching at Threshold Church. There was an older 10-year-old next to him helping him read the scriptures. And he was preaching to our whole church. And so I asked him, what do you think it means? Because he knows dreams can be symbolic and interpret. So I asked him, instead of me interpreting, I said, what do you think the interpretation means? He said, kids are supposed to be more involved with things at Threshold. That was his interpretation of the dream. I said, you're exactly right. That's right on. He had the dream the day, the first day that Nikki came in to be the director. The same exact day is when he had the dream. And so Matthew 18 to me highlights two things. If we're going to empower our kids, I'm just giving you two main points of what it means and what it looks like to empower our kids. Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 1, at this time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Wasn't that always their big question? Like, they're always trying to, you know, who's the best? Peter, John, I mean, Peter, James, and John were probably the ones fighting for it the most, right? But look at Jesus' response. He doesn't name a prophet. He doesn't name a big apostle. He doesn't name a big preacher. He doesn't name any of that. He says, Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He's highlighting the certain qualities that children have. There's a purity, there's a faith, there's a childlikeness, there's a humility, there's a dependence that children have that he's saying we need to have. He doesn't say be childish, but he says take on a childlike attitude so you can receive and enter into the kingdom. But here's a key verse, verse 5. Whoever receives, important word, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. So let me ask you a question. Can we fully receive Jesus into our midst if we do not receive the children? Because he said, whoever receives one of these little ones, just one, whoever receives this child, whoever receives one of these little ones in my name receives me. Part of receiving Jesus is receiving his children. What does it mean to receive? It means to value, to honor, to embrace. If we are going to empower our kids, number one, we have to receive them as vital members of the kingdom of God. Listen to me. The devil does not wait till our children are in their teens to start going after them. He doesn't wait till they're 15, 18. 20. He doesn't wait. Why do we wait? Why do we not see the value in the children? Why do we not treat children like real people? They are real people that have real thoughts, emotions, spirits, ideas, gifts, callings. See, there's a renewing, there's a change of mindset that has to happen where we have to actually receive our children. Because later on, he says this in verse 10, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see their face of my Father. So there's two key words. Receive, he says, is what to do. Despise is what he says not to do. Now, some of us say, well, I don't despise kids. But guess what the word means in the Greek? It means to look down upon. It means to think less of. It's the same exact Greek word that Paul told Timothy. Don't let nobody despise your youth. Same word. Let nobody look down on you because you are young. So what does it mean? It means to belittle. It means to think less of. It means to devalue. It means to... Basically, they're just kids. That's what that word means. They're just kids. They're not just kids. We have to have a change in mindset. Now, when I started to just see this, I mean, things were just exploding. I'm telling you, I'd be weeping and weeping. I'd be reading. One of the things I love about Jesus is how he valued women and how he valued children in a society that oppressed both. When I see his heart for kids, I would just begin weeping. How much he wants to receive them and embrace them. To the point where in verse 5 or 6 there, he says, if anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble, it'd be better for a millstone put on his neck and thrown into the sea. He's like, don't mess with my kids. Don't mess with my kids. Don't cause them to stumble. Don't cause them to sin. And so as I began to embrace this journey, I started to see a shift in my mindset, and we started to see a difference in our own family. We've had family devotions together. We worship together. We pray together. But the expectation wasn't really like that we're going to have a great time. It was just we're going to do it. But all of a sudden, something started shifting. And also, we started having Holy Spirit prayer meetings. Holy Spirit, my 7-year-old, my 4-year-old, we'll just pray together, and it's Holy Ghost prayer. I mean, we're all praying. All my kids pray in tongues, and we'll just be praying together. And one will go, we're just praying. Like, and I'll just start weeping. I just look at Anna, and we're just like, just let them pray. We'll just sit back and. So, number one, if we're going to empower our kids, we have to value them, receive them as vital members, not despise them. The goal is not for the kids to act like adults. Don't hear me. You're not trying to make them adults, but the goal is to value them and receive them for who they are as vital members. And their walk with God is going to look different maybe than ours, but it can be real. And you can't force them to have a relationship, but you can make the way. You can lead them into encounters. You can all these things. So parents, kids directors, pastors, we have to have a shift in our mindset. So one of the things that we did in our church was on Mother's Day, I preached a message on empowering our kids. And at this point, we were just starting to write the curriculum, and we were starting, this vision was starting to come. We knew God was speaking about this. And so I felt like we needed to do a formal time in our church where we received our kids. I preached the message. All the kids came in, infant on up. They all sat at the front of the church. And we formally, as a church body, said, we embrace you, we welcome you, we receive you, we love you, we value you. And we're going to walk with you, we're going to incorporate you into our church body. We say we need to do this in a formal, official way. We receive the kids. Within the next weeks now, kids start having a prayer meeting pre-service. Adults have a pre-service prayer meeting 9:30. Now the kids do as well. They have their own prayer meeting happening. Nikki and Helen and others lead. And they pray together themselves. Just this last Sunday, we had the kids come back in and give a couple words of knowledge, lay hands on people for prayer. So we're starting to see some things happen. And it's just the beginning. I don't want you to get this wrong impression that there's this revival happening but we're starting to see. We're starting to see. And, sometimes our family devotions are great. Sometimes they're not so great, whatever. But we're seeing real things. God is moving. Number two, if we're going to see our kids empowered, turn the page to Matthew 19. 2:38. When did I start? Eileen told me not to worry about it. Matthew chapter 19. Now listen to this. Then little children were brought to him. Some versions, like Mark, I think Luke's version says even infants, were brought to him. Little children brought to him. He might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. They didn't get it still. Just one chapter earlier, Jesus is talking about embracing the kids, receiving the kids. And here, people are bringing the children and the disciples don't get it. They rebuke it. They say, he's too busy. I want to challenge pastors to get involved in kids ministry. I want to challenge senior pastors. You're the fathers of your house. You're the mothers of your house. I want to encourage you to get involved in the life of your kids. This is so important to me. I'll 3 or 4 times a year, I leave the main service and I go and teach the kids and minister to them and lay hands on them and bless them. So they're bringing these kids to Jesus, and the disciples are like, he's too busy. He's too busy for that. He's got too much going on. He's too important for that. Jesus rebuked them. In Mark's version, it said he was greatly irritated. He was very upset. He was angered by this, by their attitude, by their mindset. And then verse 14, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. He laid his hands on them and departed from there. So number one, we must receive them as valuable members of the kingdom. Number two, we must lead our kids into encounters with God himself. Because he did not say, let the little children come to church. He said, let the little children come to me. You can bring your kids to church without bringing them to Jesus. Now, yes, bring your kids to church. That's good. That's part of it. But don't put up barriers. Don't just bring them to be babysat. Don't just bring them to sit there. Don't just bring, just, we need to believe they can actually encounter the living God. Let them come to me. Remove the restrictions. Remove the barriers. Remove the mindsets. Remove whatever would keep you from saying that that kid can encounter God. So he said, let them come to me, to God himself. They need to know God's presence now. They don't need to wait till they're 15. They need to begin hearing his voice now. I think God wants to raise up a Samuel generation. Because Samuel knew God at a young age. He ministered in the temple at a young age. He heard God's voice at a young age. He operated in giftings at a young age. Children can hear the voice of God. Children can encounter the Holy Spirit. Children can pray. They can develop their own prayer life. We have kids now that are having their own quiet times. They're reading the Bible on their own, in their own time. They're reading the Bible. They're praying. I got to go in 2 minutes, I think. I can't remember. A couple quick stories. Just a couple quick stories and I'll close it out. Is that good? Just let me give you a couple examples. So my daughter Taryn one night. Hi, Taryn. Hey, sweetheart. Where are you? Hey. There she is. She's 4 years old. One night, we're putting her to bed. And she goes, out of nowhere, she goes, Lydia's coming over tonight. Lydia is like their favorite babysitter. Like they love her. She's part of our church and we, you know, walk with her and she babysits the kids. And she goes, Lydia's coming over tonight. And we're like, no, Lydia's not coming over tonight. What are you talking about? Lydia's coming over tonight. Okay, no, she's not. Here, go to bed. We lay hand, we pray for her, put her to bed. Lydia texts Anna within a matter of minutes. Hey, can I stop by tonight? There's something I want to talk to you guys about. Maybe she's seeing something or hearing something that we're not seeing or hearing, right? My son Jude, one time, we're having one of our prayer times, and we're having this, this prayer meeting, you know, during one of our family devotion times, and we're just praying as the Holy Spirit leads, and all of a sudden I get this prompting of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for President Trump. I just felt like we need to pray for our president. A couple months ago, I just felt this prompting. Before I had a chance to do it, my son starts launching into this prayer of praying for Donald Trump. Now, we didn't talk about this. We didn't have any communication. It wasn't like he was. All of a sudden, he starts praying for Donald Trump. I pray for President Trump. I pray you give him wisdom, God. Give him the ability to lead our country well and not to do it the wrong way and protect him. And all he starts praying all these things. And then he goes, and I pray for Israel. The nation you were born in. We did not talk about Israel, nothing. That very day, Vice President Pence was talking in Washington, D.C. about Israel and American relations. That very day. Now, when Jude found out that there's witches that are putting curses on Donald Trump, oh my, he got some fire in him. He's an intercessor. One night, he was praying for him, and he said, God, I pray you protect him from any curses, and God, I pray for those witches that you would, you know, send those curses back, and he stops himself, and he goes, no, God, you love them too. I pray that they would repent. I pray that they would. One more story. Nikki's daughter. Can I tell the story, Nikki? I guess, sorry. She gave me a thumbs up. Nikki's daughter, 3 years old at the time. 3 years old. Listen, three. Nikki says her two oldest daughters had already been filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues. They're like, I don't know, seven, eight, six, five, somewhere in there. And so she goes, Kira, do you want to speak in tongues and be filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues? Kira goes, yeah. And so she lays hands on Kira. Kira starts running around the room like speaking in tongues and like, is that right? And like, and Nikki's like, is this real? Is she just making this up? Is she, you know, kind of going crazy? Is she just being a kid? So she wasn't sure. So she asked God, give me a sign. I said, now, I want to know this is the real thing. So the next morning, Nikki's waking up and Kira had crawled into bed. And Nikki wakes up to Kira on her knees, hands in the air, speaking in tongues. And the presence of God just falls on her. Now, how old do you have to be filled with the Spirit? Who was the youngest person in the Bible that was filled with the Spirit? John the Baptist in his mother's womb. Come on. Come on. Let me just close with a thought. God is a multi-generational God, is he not? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. We have to get this right. It's one of the three, I believe it's one of the reasons why God's highlighting it in this time across this dip, so many different places where you're hearing this happening. Why? Because God wants to build continuity between the generations so that the move of God does not have to start over every year, one or every cycle of generation after the next. See, he wants to build a bridge between the one generation to the next so that there can be a clear passing of the baton. Our ceiling can be their floor. That's what it's supposed to be like. But if he can break down those generation gaps, if he can cause a breach, then he stops that. So what are you doing with your kids? How do you see your kids? How do you see them? You have to see them first. You have to value them first. You have to see the potential in them. How do you see them? And then what ways are you keeping them from actually encountering God? What restrictions are there? What barriers are there? Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we honor you as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God, I thank you that nobody's getting left behind. God, I thank you that you pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. God, upon young, upon old. It's not about the old or the young. It's about both, God. It's not about the middle. It's about everyone. I thank you, God, you're pouring out your Spirit upon men, upon women. God, I thank you that you're moving right now on the earth and you're just raising up children, God, that know you, just like Samuel did at a young age, God. Father, we pray for our children, God. We ask for the Spirit of God to rest upon them, that you'd give them hearts to know you, that you'd protect them from the evil one. You draw them to you, Lord. You lead them into real encounters with you, Father. Teach us to love our children. God, just like you told Peter, do you love me, Peter? Feed my lambs. God, help us to feed your lambs, God. Help us to love them, embrace them, welcome them, value them in our families, in our homes, in our churches. In Jesus' name, amen.